Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Today, I was praying. I said, Jeremy, what is it that I can talk about or teach? What is it that you need at the church? What can I do? And he said, well, do what the Lord told you to do. Okay, that's a cop-out answer, right? Give me what's really going on. He goes, well, we're talking about mission. And of course, it's an emphasis on Mission Sunday or Mission Month. And I said, well, you know what? Praise God. So I sat down, and I believe the Lord began to give me a message for you. And I believe it's right on time. I believe for the church it's right on time. I believe that we are living in a day that we have gotten away from the basic blueprint of Jesus Christ. And somehow we got caught up in this religious traditional system and we forgot the very basics of purpose of why we exist. And I want to be able, and I believe by the end of time I get to this message at the end, I want to bring you back to where you should be. If you're not there already. Now, I pray to God that most of you are there already, but somebody's not, or God wouldn't have gave me this message. And I'm going to call this message, it's going to be called Living on Mission. Living on Mission, back, the pursuit of purpose. This is important, guys. I don't want to miss it. It's living on mission. We always hear this word, missionary. Missionaries are people that pick up and go to another country or a foreign land, and it's a title. It's something that they do. And the truth is, I want you to know that's not true, and we're going to find that out. Every person in here, I want you to know by the end that you are supposed to be living on mission. You're supposed to be living on mission. Because if you do not live on mission, you cannot fulfill your purpose. You cannot fulfill your purpose. Now we can go to the scripture. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 20, verse 21. I want you to know that over the last 2 days, I have changed my opening verse three times. Three times. I believe this is the one you're supposed to have. As I was praying last night, I actually changed it 11 o'clock last night. I know I'm not supposed to tell you that, but I'm pretty honest. Let's read this together. Now, before we read, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here, but just to serve you anywheres, God. I thank you for the blessings in my life, but God, even during this period of transition in my life right now, God, I open up the room, God. I open it up for you to come in and habitate with me and with us today. Holy Spirit, let your words come forth of my mouth and may it transform the person that it touches because it's you and not me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 20, 21 says, Jesus said to them again, Shalom, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so, I'm sending you. I'll say that again. Jesus said to them again, peace or shalom, completeness, why you were designed, how you were designed, the fullness of Zoe life, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am even sending you. Today we're going to talk about missiology. That's a big terminology used in Bible school. I know because I never went to Bible school. But missiology is the study of mission or missions. Missiology has a term within missiology that helps to explain it. And that term, if we put it up, is missio dei or dei. Missio dei. And Missio Dei is nothing more and nothing less. It's really, they always use Latin words in order to try to make it look important. But really what it's saying is that God, the whole study of missions is this. God is missional. God, everything about being part of the church, everything about being saved, the reason you got saved, everything, it's all about mission, missional. Being saved, well, you got saved to serve. That's another message for another day. You need to hear it. But you got saved to serve, but you are missional. There's a purpose for which you were designed. It wasn't a freak accident. When he formed you in your mother's womb, he had a plan. My thoughts for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. My thoughts for you are to be part of my mission here on this earth so that you can help me fulfill my mission, which is bringing forth the kingdom. And we sometimes miss that with the music, the lights, the things like that. But why you exist is nothing more, nothing less than to be missional. It's where God sends his son, because remember, if God's on a mission, right, always has been from the beginning, Genesis 1:1, has always been on a mission, and he sent his son to be on mission. That's what he did. Jesus came for this purpose. We'll see this in a second. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but he came on a mission, and when he left, he said, even as the Father sent me, I send you, and I'm putting you on mission also. But we sometimes don't live on mission. We forget we're on mission, and then we get caught up with the things of this world, with the anxieties and stresses and everything else, and we find ourselves lost. At least I do. But today I want to tell you about Missio Dei, and I just want to explain to you what missions is and what missions is not. Maybe because there's people in here today, just like in Ecuador, you're saved. You love Jesus. You might even be spirit-filled, speaking tongues. But you're empty. And you have no purpose. And you question yourself sometimes, God, why did you put me here? Why am I on this earth? There's disappointment in your heart because things are not going the way you think they should be going in the church. I want to tell you today how you can change that. How God actually does have a purpose, and if you follow that purpose, you will find that you can fill that emptiness with that purpose, and all that disappointment can go away. I want to teach you how to pursue a purpose-filled life, how to live on mission. But in order to do that, I want to go through 3 points. And it's important. We always teach these things separately as though there are 3 separate things, purpose, vision, and mission. It's really vision and mission. Now, if your pastors teach you differently, talk to them about it. Follow them, not me. But this is how I see it. My purpose is why I exist. It's why God put me on this earth. It's the big picture of everything that is made up of my vision and my mission. It says here that my purpose guides me on a daily basis. It's like my North Star. Whenever I start getting lost, I turn and I find my North and I start heading in that direction. But as I'm going in that direction, I need more detail. And as I get more detail, I begin to be reminded of the vision that God put in front of me. But what I do on a daily basis is missional. It's what I do in missions. In case you got it, but when I point, that is the key to change it. I mean, you're doing good, don't get me wrong, but I wanted to hit you with this. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without a purpose. That was a quote by Miles Monroe, and I didn't want to stay on this too long, but I have to. This quote literally was life-changing to me. It was life-changing to me. 22 years ago, I had a breakdown. While in law enforcement, partially PTSD, different other things, and it also runs in the family. There's anxiety, depression, all that kind of stuff that runs in every aunt, uncle, father, mother, sister, you name it. And I was never going to have these problems until I had that problem. I mean, I was broken to the point that I'm going to tell you that, guys, like Job said, I cursed the day I was born. I was on the floor trembling and couldn't, just taking my pulse every 15 seconds. Lori would be praying in tongues over me just for me to be able to make it through the next moment. It was bad before I got help, praise God, and I actually got medicated and different other things. I'm not here to talk about that today, but no shame in it. That's where I was and what happened in my life. But I was afraid of death. I mean, everything that was going on, I had every sickness, every disease, every ache was connected to the cancer, to this, to that, which I did not have, but the mental games from the enemy was playing with me with my anxieties. Mm-hmm. And I was at a place of despair. And you got to understand that this happened at a time that I was actually 23 or more years ago when I first got ordained. Literally, the night that I was being ordained by two different churches at one time, we were all together, they were laying hands on me, and I was having a panic attack while they were laying hands on me. So this Marine who was bold and preached in the ghettos and in prisons, and I was afraid of nothing, was terrified inside, asking God, why would you possibly want to use me? I can't even beat myself out of a wet paper bag, not alone be a good gospel person or preach your word. And over time, as I got my healing and God was speaking to me, what I heard him saying constantly was, now I can use you because I had to break you of your self-made strength so that my spirit can move through you. It was a blessing, not a curse, guys. I don't want to go through it twice, but it was a blessing, not a curse. But in that place when I was so convinced that I was afraid to die, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me that it wasn't death I was afraid of. What I was really afraid of was living a life and coming to my death without and meeting the Father face to face without being able to fulfill the purpose for which I was designed. Now, I could preach a heck of a message at the time. I could cast out demons, heal the sick, do everything else, but I was still performing in many ways and didn't understand my design, my purpose. And it's important for you to understand your purpose in life, your vision in life, and your mission in life. Otherwise, you too can be overwhelmed with the anxieties of not knowing why you exist. Luke 4:43 says this, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Jesus says that he was on purpose. He lived a life on purpose. Literally, there's three different verses in the New Testament about Jesus living on purpose. One time he was with Pilate, for this purpose I came. You know, for this purpose. I'm not going to hit on that, but I want you to know he was on purpose. In this case, he said, the purpose I came was to restore the kingdom of God. Once again, you'll hear me say this if you're ever around me. Jesus did not come to earth to create another religion. There was plenty of them going on. Jesus Christ came to earth to restore the kingdom of God on earth and your position within that kingdom. It wasn't just to save you. It was to save you with a purpose to restore you as an ambassador in a government position of the kingdom of God so that you could fulfill being a minister of reconciliation as if Christ himself was there leading people to Christ. But not just leading them to Christ and having them birthed into the kingdom, but then taking the responsibility of a mother and a father in the faith to continue to mature them until they're fully grown. And the truth is today, we think that we lead somebody to church so that Pastor Fred or Pastor Jeremy can give them a message. They come up front, they say the prayer, and praise God, somehow our job is filled. And it's not. If you lead someone to Christ, but you do not take responsibility to love them and mentor them and suffer with them, you are no different than a father who becomes a donor to a woman that creates a child but doesn't stay in the home. If you are a male that does that, I don't mix words. You're pathetic. And you need redemption. God can restore you. We've seen it over and over again. But do not call yourself a father. A true father and mother in the faith brings somebody into Christ. They get saved and justified by Christ. But then we take the responsibility to mentor them and disciple them until they become able to reproduce after their own kind, just like we should be doing it. But 90% of people in the church today are bastard children. It's just true. If I offend you with that word, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because it's true. And we need to change. If you're a father in the faith, then you need to adopt some sons. Like I adopted Carol or Javi or whoever else. We have to fulfill this because there's a purpose on our life. Next one, please. This is a good one for me. It says Acts 13:36. We're talking about King David here. It says, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep and was laid with his fathers. David served God according to the purposes for which God created him in his time. And then when he fulfilled his purpose, he rested with his fathers. He died. I know we don't want to hear this, but every person in this room is going to die. I'm going to die. I'm 55. I realize that more with the aches and pains and swelling in my feet and different other things. It's not going to last forever. But what I do on this earth, if I fulfill my purpose, it can last forever into the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Why do you exist? Why? Do you ask yourself this question ever? You should. I'm going to tell you what my purpose is. No, I'm sorry. I pointed and I shouldn't have did it. My fault. I was a little fast. I love guns. I was fast on the trigger. My purpose is to know him and make him known. Now, I'm not telling you everyone in this room needs to have my purpose statement. I stole this from somebody else. I don't have it. It just happens to fit me. Guys, I'm not telling you should have tattoos. I'm not telling you they're correct. I will tell you that I have it here that says basically Yada Yahweh, to know God, to make God known. It reminds me constantly of my purpose. It keeps me on track, my North Star. The whole sole reason I'm here is not to get a job, not that jobs are wrong. I was bivocational. I'm willing to work again. I will do whatever it takes to take care of my family or ministry. But my reason for living is purpose. And it's to know God intimately. I told you, I started losing that. And God's forced me to come back and stop doing work and just say, God, I got to make room for you again. I just need you. I don't need Ecuador. I don't need ministry. Some of the things of rejection is hurt, but also false acceptance, feeling that because somebody said, praise God, you know, praise, you're called, that somehow I have, no. Nothing means anything if you don't approve of me, if you're not pleased. See, God loves me, but there's times that I've done ministry and he wasn't pleased. Because I'd done it for the wrong reason. And the reason wasn't a soul sold out love of just need him in my room. Mine is to know God and make him know. Now I'm pulling the trigger. That's almost it. But your vision. Vision's different. I told you that purpose is your North Star. It's the big picture. It's usually small words. But your vision begins to define why you exist. And everyone's vision can be different and the same. Your mission has to be part of your vision. And we'll get into that in a second. But you, like some of you are called as a pastor of a local church. Or maybe someone who oversees a big golf course, a fancy place. Maybe it's being a father in the faith and apostolic and traveling in order to mentor other sons. Maybe with me, it's having sons in multiple locations and different things, because that is a different reason I didn't get into that, and that's another day that you have to bring me back, talk about what apostolic is. And that is being missional again, just going to new cultures. But in the process, what is happening is that my vision gives me something to aspire to. It's usually long distance. Rarely do you actually walk in your vision on a daily basis. It's how you see God seeing you when you're mature. When you're mature. I'm going to talk a little about vision here. I love this verse. It says Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, I'm sure you've heard this before. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. First, I would say, who is he speaking to? believers or non-believers. They were talking to Jewish believers. This is where it was originally written. He was telling them that when you have no prophetic vision, when you have no word from God, when you have no inspiration of the Holy Spirit to know how to walk out your purpose, it can be very disappointing and sometimes lonely and sometimes a whole lot of what if and where and whys. But God says this, that prophetic vision is, it's hearing. It's hearing from God why you exist. What is the bigger details of it all? It's hearing from God in a logos type of word, meaning it could come through a dream, a vision. It can come through the word of God and God speak to you that way. And if you do not have a vision and you haven't received the vision you can write down yet, and we'll get into that, then you know what you do next? You find somebody who has a vision and you do an Elijah thing and you walk behind them until God gives you your own vision. But it will come if you're faithful over little things and serving another man's ministry. I promise you, God will give you a bigger vision. I know that. I was blessed to have a great father and grandfather in the faith that I was able to walk behind and that loved me and encouraged me and cheered me on. And I did not get the fulfillment or the fullness of my vision in my life until after I was willing to lay down my life to serve somebody else. Amen. If they cast off restraint, you can leave it here, but if you cast off restraint, what it really means in Hebrew, without going into the words, it means to become discouraged. And when they become discouraged, it says that they become lawless. When people in the church have no vision that fulfills their purpose, they become discouraged. And when they become discouraged, like typical human beings, it obviously can't be me. It's obviously not my fault. Obviously, the reason I'm discouraged, the reason I'm depressed, the reason I'm not happy in this church, it's because of Pastor Fred. It's because of Pastor Jeremy. It's because the music isn't good enough. It's because the preaching doesn't meet my needs. It's because my wife, if she was only a better wife, there's no one better than you, baby, then I would have peace. I would have shalom. I would have completeness. We hardly ever take it upon ourselves to realize that the problem is not them. While you're pointing to everyone else, there's three fingers coming back at you. You are the problem. Because you haven't surrendered and said, God, give me vision. You cast off restraint. Habakkuk says this, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he who reads it, for the vision awaits its appointed time, it hastens to the end, it will not lie, if it seems to be slow, wait for it, be patient, it will surely come, it will not be delayed. Amen. Guys, do you realize what it's saying? You can take this literally. I believe that every person, just like a good church, Jeremy was just telling me the other day, the vision statement, the mission statement, and the core values, which I never had core values for our church. I will the next one I plant, for sure. I love it. But every organization, every group, everything has to have a vision. It has to have something to run after, something that keeps them going. But so does every individual. Because the church is made up of people, not an organization, an organism. Every organism within the organism has to have purpose, vision, and mission, or you will become discouraged and you will cast off restraint. In this particular case, I would encourage you. Do I have any authority here whatsoever today? Some? Can I have yours for a second? How many people, if I gave you an assignment that will take you less, it'll take you a day to think about it, just to think, but maybe 5 minutes to write. How many of you guys would actually do it for me? How many of you are lying? Okay, how many of you would be willing to do it for me? Please. I'm asking, I'm begging you, please do it for me. Okay, good. This is what I want you to do. When we're done today, I want you to go home and think about this. Watch the message over again if you have to. But I want you to write down on a text message or an email, whatever it may be, I want you to write down what you believe your purpose in life is, what you believe the vision God has given you, and what your mission is. I want you to be able to do that. I believe God told me that last night, and I didn't want to forget about it and end the sermon without doing it. But if you could do that, I want you to email Jeremy. Just because I believe that it's not enough for us to know it. We have to be able to share it. We need to be able to speak it out. We have to bring it into existence and have somebody else that can help us hold us accountable. That's why I'm telling you what mine is. I want to be held accountable. I'm going to share with you mine. My vision statement. Next one, please. It says, this is my personal statement. Now, I have a long version and a short version. I'm only giving you the short version. Because if I gave you the long version, anyway. To live a life compelled by the love of Christ. To be a catalyst to unite others to passionate intimacy and maturity in Christ. To leave a legacy of love. There's that word legacy again. Of love and steadfast pursuit of God to my physical and spiritual sons and daughters, to serve the purpose of God in my own generation, and then to sleep with my fathers. Until I fulfill this, I am not going to sleep with my fathers. Now, I'm in the process of this, but I don't feel like I've completed this completely. I think I failed sometimes. I have spiritual sons and daughters. I am doing certain things good, and I think I could have done better. Not condemning myself. I'm just trying to judge myself rightly. I want you to write down what it is that's going to guide you in your purpose. What is going to be your vision to go forth to do this? And then lastly, I want to talk about the mission that drives you, since the whole thing is supposed to be about Missio Dei, about this mission that I told you that you're on. And mission, you got to understand, this is what you do daily. This is how you function. Purpose, save this, purpose rarely changes. Your purpose for existing rarely changes. Yours might not say to know God, to make God known. Yours might say something else, but it's going to be similar. It's going to be somewhere in there, but this will probably never change in my life. It was like lightning shot up in me. This is why I'm here, my purpose. Vision sometimes changes. Usually it doesn't subtract. Sometimes it adds. Sometimes, like, I knew I had an apostolic calling on my life when I was 27 years old, but I got to tell you, I wasn't ready to be sent by anyone. As a prophet, guys, I can tell you about vision. Right here, I have 20 minutes of prophecies that were spoken over me and Lori that I listen to and remind myself of constantly. I have them in audio. I have them written down. When I'm depressed, when I'm feeling like I'm not doing enough, like I'm whatever, I go back and read it and remind myself again of what God said, not what I said, and not what the enemy's saying. One of the things that a prophet said to me was this. He said, Bobby, you're going to be explosive. You're going to go to nations. I'm like, I've never been out of New Jersey. And you're going to go there, and you're going to bring the gospel. You're going to root out, tear down. You're going to do this. And I'm like, yes, that's me, God. And he says, but I can't send you now. Because if I sent you now, you'd destroy everyone and yourself. The church just laughed. Everyone that knew me loved me. They laughed, and they were absolutely correct. It was for an appointed time. I wasn't ready to walk it out. I had to save it. I didn't have disciples at that point in time. I didn't have anyone that was following me. Matter of fact, if they followed me, they'd be foolish. It was for an appointed time. But my mission, I was on mission then. I've been on mission since the moment I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 19 years old. I've been on mission. And that's important for you to know. Mission is this. It drives you. My mission and your mission is the Great Commission. I'm here to tell you that you cannot pick your mission. You cannot pick your mission. You can add to that mission, but you cannot subtract from that mission. We're going to get detailed here. You can choose, like, look, you can be, I was a correctional lieutenant that ran a prison. I was able to work with gangbangers, run a military-style boot camp, and I used what I did and loved but I used it to win people for Jesus Christ. I can have an addition to my mission. You can be a school teacher. You can be a truck driver. You can work at, well, you don't have sheets here, whatever you have. You can work wherever. You can add to the mission because God will give you a different vision. With me, vision, I was supposed to be in corrections. I was going to quit everything with law enforcement when I got disappointed, and I was headed to Rhema Bible College, man. I was on my way out, wrote my resignation papers, and God said, have I changed my mind? No. Then why are you trying to move? God audibly spoke to me. I've only heard the audible voice twice in my life. If you're religious people, maybe some of you heard it more time. You're more religious than me. I've heard the audible voice twice in my life. Once when I was 20 years old, and I had plans for my life after promising God I would do whatever he told me to do. I was going to wear an electric blue suit. I was in New Jersey State Police. I was going to be in the SWAT teams. I was going to rescue damsels in distress. I was going to wear my cape and be Super Bob. But I failed by 0.6 of a point firearms with 2 weeks left of a 19-week academy. I could tell you that an angel pulled the bullet out of the air because I'm a pistol instructor today. But the point is, whatever God did, he broke me. And on that drive home, I said, God, why? Clear as day. I had a conversation. Didn't think about it until afterwards. And he said, because you disobeyed me. And I knew what he meant. I told him, God, send me to Africa. Send me to the jungle. Send me anywhere as you want, man. But I said, but I want the electric blue suit. And he said to me, you disobeyed me. And I said, no, but I wanted it. And he said, but you promised me your life. I said, but I wanted it. He goes, now what? And I looked at him, and I was in the car, and I said loud, I was tears streaming down my eyes. I said, now what? And he said those words I never wanted to hear. It wasn't depart from me, you doer of iniquity, I never knew you. I don't want to hear that either. But he said, Bobby, go back to the county jail. I was there temporary. I worked there. I hated inmates. I was Batman. They were jokers. It wasn't good. All I wanted to do was fight. You don't know me when I was younger. I just want to fight. And I don't want to go back, God. He said, you disobeyed me once. Do you want to try me twice? That's what he said to me. I didn't say he talked to you that way. That's what he said to me. I didn't stop at home. I didn't. I drove right to your county jail. When God tells you something like that, I drove right to that jail, tears still in my eyes, walked inside and said, I'm not in the state police anymore, and there's a captain here. He wasn't there. The next day, a captain calls me on a Saturday and says, show up on work on Monday. Your uniforms are waiting for you. I'm like, ugh. But within my first couple weeks, God changed my heart. Inmates were no longer jokers. They were opportunities for the gospel. The hardest guys in the world, man, I'm a hug-a-thug dude. Give me a banger. Let's bang heads, man. The second time that God spoke to me was my sister had melanoma for cancer. Was given a 5-year death sentence. She was 5 weeks pregnant with my niece. And the man of God in faith had no faith. I was broken. And I was weeping in a room, crying. And the Lord said to me, whose report are you going to believe? And I said, Lord, I know that story. I preach that story. I don't have that faith today. I want to believe it, God. And I said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And he simply said, I will heal her, period. And I said, but God, what if the results come back melanoma 4 when the tests come in? What if? And he says, what if? That's all he said, what if? And I knew what it meant. It's done. I called my parents. I called my sister. Look, you're going to be fine. She refused chemotherapy. Nobody believed me at the time. I was just a crazy charismatic. My sister, right now, she went through an operation and pulled out her lymph nodes. As they were going in and following the cancer, it disappeared in front of the doctor. Kid you not. Doctor said, I don't have no explanation. It was there and now it's not. She has one leg that's big because they pulled the lymph nodes out, but my sister is now 25 years cancer-free, and my niece is now 24, I think, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, God spoke to me on those things, but I had to write them down and hold on to them. But my commission, back to this, that was the rabbit trail. The Great Commission is to make disciples, and I don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Let's look at it. I would ask some people sometimes, what is the Great Commission? Does anyone know what the Great Commission is? Anybody in here? Come on. Somebody say it out loud. Be bold. Go and make disciples, right? Is that the first Great Commission? I love this because I teach kingdom. And the thing is this, is let's go there. I would tell you that the first Great Commission was Genesis 1, 28. God hasn't changed. There was no plan B. It's always been a plan A. God's plan is always for mankind to be part of his kingdom expanding experience. Always has been, always will be. And in this one, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and take dominion. He told them that your job, your reason for existing, your purpose to be on life, your vision to move forward, and your mission on a daily basis is to be fruitful, to multiply, to reproduce, to fill the earth, what, with the glory of the God as the waters cover the whole earth, as the Bible says, to subdue it and to have dominion, to make sure that his kingdom fills the whole earth. That's always been it. And then part two is the New Testament, when Jesus left them and said, even as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He said this, go, and I won't get into it, running out of time, but it says this, it says, go, literally, you probably heard this before from your pastors, but it literally just means as you go. It doesn't mean as you hit Ecuador. It doesn't mean when you hit Africa, when you hit the jungles, when you hit that. Look, it says, as you go on a daily basis, living your life in school, in work, in the grocery store, no matter where you go, as you go, make disciples. I'm going to correct you on something here. Discipling is not giving somebody a track. Discipling is not just simply telling them about the gospel and walk away. Discipling is walking with a person side by side, a rabbi with a student that makes dust until the student acts like the rabbi and then is released into his own ministry in order to do the same thing. If your definition is anything different than the original definition, your definition is incorrect. In order to baptize them, yes. In order to teach them, but teach them what? To observe, to obey, obedient. Your sole purpose and mission in life, your number one that you cannot subtract, is to make disciples that are obedient and obey everything that God taught you, period. All that God has commanded. In our day and time, we have made this, even though we preach it from pulpits, we have made it the great suggestion. If I feel like being that guy, then I'll make disciples. But if I don't have time or it doesn't fit into my goals, my purpose, my vision, my mission, then I could put it to the side. Why? Because I come to church, I raise my hands, I even give an offering, and I support that bald-headed, ugly dude on the mission field called Bobby. Therefore, for me, it's different. And I'm trying to tell you guys, you don't have that right to change it. You must make disciples. And you must make disciples that are obedient to the gospel. Obedient to the gospel that is always able to teach other people also. That is what Paul told Timothy. He said, find faithful men that are able to teach others also. It's the 2x2 principle. Next. You know what? We're running. Shut it down. I'd like to tell you, I was going to tell you about the space shuttle. I love this analogy. And I'll just briefly do it here. The space shuttle, anybody, it's a mission. Mission. Anybody else like space? I like space. I'm a sci-fi guy. I like space, man. And I love watching the space shuttle go up. I love watching it as it took off. And you sit there, and I just sit there, and I watch the videos, and the solid rocket boosters on the side would begin to thrust. And it says it thrusts with 31 million pounds of pressure, man. That's a lot of pressure, man. And it's just, and it takes off, and it goes, and it breaks the mesosphere, and it's starting to disappear. And then all of a sudden, those solid rocket boosters break off. And it falls back down to earth. But the space shuttle continues. I used to watch and I was amazed. And then somebody gave me an analogy one day and told me that, Bobby, you're not the space shuttle. Life is not about you. Really? I thought it was. I thought Lori was put here just to make me happy. It's not about you. You're not the space shuttle. You're the rocket boosters. But you have a purpose. Your purpose is to expend all the energy, all the giftings, all the things that I've given you to push everything out so that when you come to the end of your life, there's nothing left and you break off and you will come down and rest with your fathers. Because it's not about you, Bobby. It's about that shuttle, and that shuttle is the kingdom of God. And he said, the only way you can do that, Bobby, is making sure that you don't do half your energy, part of your energy, three quarters of your energy. No, every day I am on mission. Who can I bring to Christ and who can I mentor to mentor others? It's my mission. Now, I have other things part of it, but that one never changes. Because one day I want to be like David and say, I fulfilled the purpose of God in my generation. I had left behind disciples that in some ways looked like me, but they were infilled with passion, and they now have disciples. And I now have spiritual children, spiritual grandchildren, and now I'm looking for spiritual great-grandchildren that will continue to reproduce as they go. As they go. Are you a rocket booster, or do you really believe you're a shuttle? Do you think that this life is about you? When we get woe is me all the time? Or are you that shuttle that says, God, do what you want to do. I make room for you. It's all about you. You fill this house. And whatever you give me, I will expend. If you want to find your life, you have to lose it. Mark. But if you save your life, you will lose your life. I'm going to tell you that in that verse, it literally is talking about your mind, your will, your intellect, and emotion. It's actually a word. Life is a word called psuche. But if you want Zoe type of life, you have to expend your mind, will, intellect, and emotion so that God can use you. Guys, my message for you today that I don't want you is, number one, you promised me that you would sit down and think about your purpose, your mission, or excuse me, vision, and your mission. And then you would write it down and you would email Pastor Jeremy so he can help hold you accountable. I would ask you this, guys. How many of you in here are saved? Justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing changes, God. We will be in heaven together, guys. Please, whatever I'm saying, don't let it be judgment to you. If it's correction, then please take it. But do it so that we change. I would ask you this. Now, all you that said you're saved, how many of you in here have spiritual sons and daughters in the faith that you call disciples? Guys, we need to change if we want to be on purpose. Now, I'm excited for you guys. I really am. Jeremy and I sat down and looked at the drawings and the plans and everything for the new building coming up. And I said, that building's bigger than your building now, dude. And it has a movie theater? I'm like, I'm in it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful vision, guys. But it will mean nothing if you can't fill it with disciples. You will get there and you will not be able to say, God, man, did we build you a beautiful building, man? I mean, come on. Basketball courts, gymnasium. I made sure there was a weight room in there. Yeah, and big enough. A movie theater, God, come on. Our band, oh my God, that music was beautiful. And he's going to say, did you make disciples? I tell my kids, take out the trash. But Dad, I did the dishes. I didn't ask you about the dishes. I told you to take out the trash. God's going to say, look, I didn't tell you to have a big house or a fancy business or whatever. I told you to make disciples. Now, you can have it if you do disciples. I'm challenging those that didn't raise your hand. Every one of you are called to make disciples. Every one of you are capable of making disciples. Every one of you are capable of teaching another person what God has taught you. Whether it's the message from a Sunday, whether it's one scripture, whether you use something, hey guys, I'll throw it out there, something called the Discovery Bible Study. It's just nothing more than going through one verse with somebody and simple questions of what does this mean? What does it say about God? What does it say about us? And if it is from God, how do we obey it? It's simple. You can easily learn this. I'm sure your pastor will help you. But I'm telling you, you have to make a decision. The change has to take place here. Do you believe what I'm telling you today? That the Bible says that you can't fulfill your purpose and please God if you don't fulfill your mission. And your mission can include things, but it has to be make disciples. How many of you are willing to make that mindset change? Please, not for my sake, for yours. I'm going to tell you, if you do this, this church is going to expand. It's going to blow up. But not so it brings glory to FWC. It will bring glory to God. That new building will be packed with people working out and having fun. And the new sanctuary will be necessary because you'll be on 2 and 3 services if you get back to mission. And I'm challenging you today, guys. Get back to mission. If you stand with me, I'm going to pray for you. As you sing that song, please. Will you make room for God? Will you say to God today, Lord, it's all about you. God, I'm not the space shuttle. Your kingdom is. God, I'm not what's important. If I die today, most people won't remember my name within a decade. But if I die without propelling your kingdom forward, I failed. God, all I want to hear is well done, good and faithful servant. All I want to know is that I fulfilled my purpose during my generation. And Father, all I want is for every person in this room, Father, every man and every woman, I want them to realize, Father, that they have a divine purpose. And Lord, from this day forward, they begin to go on mission. On mission, Father. Let us make room. Let us get rid of our traditions. Let us get rid of the things that we think and start thinking like you. Let us put on the mind of Christ Jesus. Lord, I just release a new spirit, Father. A new way of thinking. Let us shed the old. We cannot wear 2 garments, Father. They cannot be a mixture. We cannot have the garment of religion, yet the garment of mission. And Lord, today I release a spirit, a new spirit and understanding of missional. Lord, I declare to every person in this room, every person that hears my voice, I declare and I say, you're a missionary. You are a missionary. You have everything it takes to make disciples. And I direct you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and find faithful people. Find people of peace and begin to meet with them. Build relationships with them. Form koinonia. Begin to become the church and not just attend church. Let us get to a place, people, together, you and me together, that we stop making converts that fill seats, but we start making disciples that take nations. That we stop looking for this world to come up with the answers, government, politics, anything else, God, because they have no answers. The answer's found in you, and you've already told us. Humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways. Be obedient. If we love you, we'll obey your commandments. You command us to make disciples, so Lord, we'll do it. As we go, as we go, Lord, we will make disciples.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.